fifth Sunday after Easter, and it also is our first Holy Communion Sunday. There will be a reception in the hall for the children who made their first Holy Communion. Everyone is encouraged to come to congratulate the children. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today. There will not be benediction this evening. This Thursday is the feast of the Ascension of our Lord. There will be a high Mass at 9 in the morning and a low Mass at 7 p.m. It is a holy day of obligation, so all Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass if possible. Next Sunday, May 13th, the Mass will return to its normal time of 8 in the morning. The Novena to the Holy Ghost begins this Friday. We have a new offering box in the vestibule. It is placed in the wall next to the statue of Saint Anne. You may place any donations in it, including those for calendars or other items, but please put a note there with that donation for a calendar or whatever so we know what it is. The feast for this week, tomorrow, is the feast of Saint Stanislaus. And we will not be going into the saints in detail, but just to point out some key things about them. And this saint in particular, he was killed by the king. He was the archbishop in Poland. And that seems far away from us, but not really. Because what was happening is it happens to all of us. If it is pointed out to us that we're not living a truly Christian life, it takes a moment, unless you're a saint, to absorb that. And sometimes it takes a longer time, and then we wish to strike out because that hurts us. Usually we don't have enough power to do anything except maybe grumble and murmur about it. This man that the saint was correcting was a king. He could do something about it, and so he killed with his own hands, beheaded the saint. It's a warning to all of us. We have it in ourselves to do the same. Wednesday is the feast of St. Gregory Nazianzen, a truly remarkable theologian, early church, but he was put in charge of the imperial city of Constantinople, and he was in for 18 months, and he was trying to do the work of God, and it was he had so much opposition, and everyone was so angry. He did, as they said, Jonah did on the ship when he was fleeing from God's command, and the sea was destroying the ship. And he said, and they figured out that he was the cause of it. And he said, "Throw me overboard." This was Jonah the prophet. Well, listen to what this saint did. He saw that despite all his efforts, these people were not hearing the gospel, and so he voluntarily stepped down. Thursday, of course, is the Ascension, but St. Antoninus is the bishop saint from the Middle Ages. Can't talk about that. Friday is the feast of Saints Philip and James, two apostles. And Saturday is the feast of a series of saints, St. Nereus and Achilles, who were brothers, Domitilla, who they served, and Pancras, who was a 14-year-old convert and then martyr. Can't talk about it. And these 3 days leading up to the Ascension are called the Rogation Days because they are the times that we beseech. That's what the word means. It's one of the ends of prayer, to beseech, ask God. It's those days praying for God's blessing for us in this season, leading up to Ascension, but for the season of the crops and everything. But after the Mass, there'll be a reception in the hall. Everyone is invited and encouraged to come to congratulate these children. Therefore, we will not have a blessing of articles after Mass. We will not have benediction this evening. Thursday is the Feast of Ascension, Holy Day of Obligation, High Mass at 9, Low Mass at 7. Next Sunday, the Mass returns to 8 o'clock time. Novena to Holy Ghost begins Friday, and the the new offering box in the vestibule. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. James' epistle. Beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and presently he forgets what kind of man he is. But he who has looked carefully into the perfect law of liberty and has remained in it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, shall be blessed in his deed. And if anyone thinks himself to be religious, not restraining his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Religion pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to give aid to orphans and widows in their tribulations, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 23 to 30. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in parables. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables, but will speak to you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly and utterest no parable. Now we know that thou knowest all things, and does not need that anyone should question thee. For this reason, we believe thou camest forth from God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Of course, we must speak to our first communicants today, and we, as is the custom, maybe you know or do not know, but just before the Mass, Father would always speak to the first communicants, and we did, to tell them that first we have to say something to everybody about the Mass before we can speak to them. The first part is for them also. And just as a kind of the tone for today, we want to just hear the last, these Sundays of Easter, these five Sundays, Holy Mother of the Church does not want to leave the cenacle. And so these last three Sundays in particular, we haven't even left the same chapter of the Gospels. It's our Lord, after giving them Holy Communion, after making them priests, instituting the Mass, he's talking to them. And Holy Mother of the Church wants to treasure these last words. And these are literally the last words, today's Gospel, of that chapter. And then it goes on. If you remember what's happening in the Gospel, our Lord has summarized everything in one sentence. It's such a powerful sentence that's repeated in the Alleluia for the Mass. "I came forth from the Father, and I came into the world. I have accomplished everything. Now I leave the world and go back to the Father." It's the whole liturgical year in a sentence. It's all of Advent, coming down into the world, Christmas. He is in the world, works his mission, dies on the cross, and now he is ready. He returns to the Father with the ascension. and you hear the apostles. You speak plainly. We see it. We understand it all. And they have the reaction we have to have right now. We believe. Do you hear them say it? We believe that. We believe you are God. We believe you came down, saved us, and you're returning to the Father. That's what the call is for us. And then our Lord goes on just to finish that chapter, because the next chapter, 17, he offers this prayer to his Father for all of us, his priests and all of us. Christ's priestly prayer for union. But before he starts that final prayer, then he's going to go out and begin his passion. He says this, Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered each to his own house and to leave me alone. But I am not alone because the Father is with me. And this is what, these are the last words of this chapter, but these are the ones we want you to hear today as our tone. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have affliction, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Now, the reason why we stress that is because, obviously, everything outside the walls here, and every Sunday this is the case, you have a chance to get a reprieve from the incessant attacks. All kinds, psychological, economical, against your faith. Just go down the list, you know it all. Problems with your own health and things. So every Sunday you come and you have a reprieve from that. But this is an even more special day because we have First Communion. Because despite all of the attempts, everything that is against us and against you and against these children, think about it. All those evil attempts are to frustrate. And when you think about that, you realize what is really behind it. An angelic mind that has been perverted, trying to stop innocent children from receiving God. But our Lord says, I am with you. That's what we're taking as the theme. You have peace with me. I have overcome the world. So from this point on, we don't think about that. We are thinking about how God is all-powerful and he can do anything, and he has. And we see it right here. He has taken little people who have, humanly speaking, no power to do much. And he has taken them and he has said, I will come to them and they will come to me. And that is why this is a great celebration for everyone. That is why everyone is encouraged to go to the hall. And that's why everyone wants to. Everyone enjoys it. Because this is a celebration for them, their families, of course. But for all of us, we are the bigger family. This is the pledge that in the end, they cannot win. Even with little children. Because really, any of us, no matter how big, smart, tough, whatever, we're all little children, especially against angelic forces. But we know from this day, we know things like this, and we've had other moments, of course, just recently, really. Great celebrations, Easter, anniversary, and everything. But this day particularly tells us God's will not be frustrated. And you know what? We all take from this what we're having right now, but in our own lives, no matter how we're tested, God is with us. You have to believe that, even at the worst moments. Okay, that's the theme. I have a lot of time on that. We want to say something about the Mass, and then to go on. So, quickly about the Mass, we already know Holy Mother of the Church, and it's the Church is, and that's why Sunday is the day. We know that the apostles changed the day of worship to Sunday, because the resurrection is so great. And so this season of Easter, the Church just doesn't want to stop. And so we say, in the introit, we shout it out. God has delivered his people. And we bask in that. And we love that. And then we have those church centers in on these particular witnesses. All the apostles are witnesses of the resurrection, in addition to the 500 people that saw our Lord and everything. But there are three people that the church wants to keep bringing out to us. St. John, St. Peter, those two who ran to the tomb, and then St. James. Interesting exactly why. And his feast day is this Friday, along with St. Philip. These three, and they're signaled out because St. Paul in his epistles talks about how our Lord appeared specially to St. James, who, of course, we know was the cousin of our Lord. He was his first cousin. So he had a special relationship, but St. Paul points out that our Lord appeared to him specially. He appeared to St. Peter specially. So these are the saints, and the epistles are from them. The Gospels are exclusively from St. John during his time. We have St. Peter's epistle. It's all to emphasize that, to be closest to these people. If St. Thomas had written a Gospel or an epistle, he would be one of them, because our Lord had him put his hand into his side. So we know that this is important in the church's mind. And so here is St. James telling us, do not take all of these great mysteries that you have witnessed and all of these great truths that you have been taught and that you've heard. Don't let them fall on deaf ears. This is why this epistle is so hated by non-Catholics. Because he's telling them, if you just listen and you're not a doer of the law of the word, then your religion is vain. You think you're religious, you're not. And then he says, as St. James is, he's so practical. And so he does other parts of it. He does it again here. Okay, you want to know what religion is? It means shut up. Bridle your tongue. Because it's such a source of error. Because it's also revealing what's in the heart. So we know we have to convert the heart. But let's start with the external. He says that's the first sign of being religious. And then he says, you know what? And you think, oh, it's God. That's religion, what we owe to God. Correct. But it is seen in how we treat our neighbor. Love of God and love of neighbor. And then so he says, when the fatherless or the widows are in tribulation, you help them. That's the second thing he says. And the third thing, keep yourself unspotted from this world. Don't be contaminated by it. In the gospel, as we've already said, because it's the overriding theme, that God, our Lord, has told them that he sums it up, I have come into the world, I have saved it, and now I return to the Father. And they react by saying, we believe. That's what we want to do too. We believe. And then he tells them, he's been training them. And now at the last, before the ascension, he's telling them, this is what you have to remember. You have to pray. You have to talk to God, one in three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You must pray. And he tells them how to always pray in my name. And that is another summation of what the liturgy is. The liturgy is the official prayer of the church, Christ's prayer. We are always praying in the name of Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, you hear the prayers ending that way. It's so liturgical. And then just to tie that into what we did not go into except to mention, these rogation days, rogare, to beseech. One of the purposes of prayer, to ask. So these days, so it's all leading up to the ascension, to train us in asking God for his help. And we will be blessed in that. One last thing before we do talk to these first communicants. It often happens this way, and of course it happened this year, providentially, that this falls during the month of May. This is the beginning of the month, the first Sunday in the month. And the month of May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's somewhat of an ancient thing, trying to figure out why. You just look it up and the ancients had a special attachment to the month of May and their goddesses of fecundity and the rebirth in the natural order. And so that may have been something, again, that the church Christianized and baptized. But you even see it in our modern times, because when did they decide to place 52 Sundays of the year? They picked the second Sunday in May for Mother's Day. So this month is dedicated to our Heavenly Mother. And so we bring it out to you because a couple of reasons. One is everyone should try to do something extra devotional to Our Lady. It used to be the May crowning. It could be saying some more prayers to the Blessed Mother, to Regina Caeli, Queen of Heaven Rejoice, and that is particularly the Holy Mother's title is during the month of her queenship. And it's excellent how Holy Mother Church has begun the month with St. Joseph, the protector, and it culminates in the feast of the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's wonderful. It's almost like church put that seal on it under Pope Pius XII. So he mentioned it to you. And the other thing I want to say is, leading into our first communicants, is that after all of the greatness of receiving God, then our Lord says, I am also giving you, as he did from the cross, I am giving you my mother. And so if you know, they come back to the communion rail where they've received Holy Communion. Okay, well, we're starting in to talk to you a little here. You will come back to the communion rail as you've practiced and you know. And then our Lord, through the priest, is going to envelop you under the care of his mother. He's going to give you her scapular, her clothing. He's going to put her mantle over you. Just a small thing, but it's the whole Our Lady protecting you, your mother in heaven. And then the miraculous medal. Again, you are being enrolled. That is, you become members of these confraternities, and you are a member for life. No matter what happens to your scapular, it will wear out. Even your medal you might not wear it. You may get a new one. It doesn't matter, because you are a member of these confraternities of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the pledge is, because that's what Holy Communion is, it's the pledge of future glory. God wants you eventually to live in heaven. And so he comes with his own body, and then he says, here is this garment that you wear of the Blessed Mother. It is the pledge that you will someday go to heaven. You will not suffer the pains of hell. So you always want to wear that. I will not, because I've taken too much time here. Well, I will say just this about the medal. So the prayer says, so that all who devoutly wear it and reverence it may experience the patronage of Mary Immaculate and obtain mercy from you, O Lord. And the priest says to you, take this holy medal. He will say it in Latin, but I'm telling you what he's telling you. You'll see me hold that medal. And these are the words I'm going to say to you. Take this holy medal, wear it with faith, and handle it with devotion, so that the holy and immaculate Queen of Heaven may protect and defend you. And you will live in life and rest happily in her motherly embrace. And it talks further about the Blessed Mother's power over the devil. And here about the scapular, receive the same thing. Priest holds the scapular, puts it on you, and he says, receive this blessed scapular and beseech the Blessed Virgin that through her merits you may wear it without sin. May it defend you against all adversity and accompany you to eternal life. Thinking of St. Alphonsus Liguori, a great saint, to show you how powerful this is. When the saint was buried, when they opened up his coffin, they checked to see what God has left as a sign. The saint, the priest, had his clothes and he himself had decomposed. And you know what? His scapular was still perfect. It accompanies us into heaven. Okay, so we want to now say something to the children in particular. Now, children, we already started to talk to you. You can see that. And we're just the anything I'm going to say is just purely from Father Ward. And he would normally be here, except he's saying Mass and everything now, but he's not fully able to do everything here. So soon he will be. You have to pray for him. So this is all from Father. But he would always remind everyone on First Communion, as he would tell you, you have to block out everyone else now. Everyone's excited. Everyone's happy. You heard me say that. They all want to be part of this. We have to block them out because it's just you, me, and our Lord. And you know where he is right now. He's in the tabernacle. And you know that. You study. And Father would remind everybody, we can't help it. I can't help it. Everybody, no matter if it was last year or 100 years ago, everybody today is thinking of their own first Holy Communion day. And you will do that too. You will remember different things about today. You won't remember everything, unless you're amazing and you remember everything. But some things will you remember. You might remember that it was cold when you came out. And of course, the sun will come out and it will be very warm later. You might remember that. But you're going to remember things, and so are the people around you. They're thinking back on the things that they remember. You know why? It's the most important day of your life. It changes everything. You and your families and brother and all the priests, everyone has helped you. Everyone has worked hard. Your parents, as soon as you were born, if they could have, they would have taken you directly to the church. But as soon as they could, they know instinctively that these children God has given me are his. And they must be given to him immediately. And so they take you and you receive your first sacrament. And you know what that is? You receive baptism. And then yesterday, you received your second sacrament. It was a sacrament of penance. What a great day was that? Did you feel it? People may have. They might remember their first confession. Do you remember feeling? Maybe you did, maybe not. Did you feel a joy? Did you feel something great had happened? You had got rid of all your sins. You could say your sins and God forgave all of them. And those two sacraments were two sacraments just to get you ready for this. No, this is the greatest sacrament you're going to receive. No matter if you receive holy matrimony, if you receive the sacred priesthood, they are all made for that. They are all made for the Holy Eucharist because the sacrament has and is God. So this is the most important day of your life. That's why people cannot forget. They remember all kinds of things about it. They remember how much work, how many years in your short lives, how many years have you studied? How much hard work. And we know how hard it's been for some, well, all really, but especially, we know how hard you've worked, how hard you've studied, how hard your families have helped you. And you know your prayers, and you know all the truths about the faith that you need to know, right? And you want to receive our Lord. And you know what? As you so wisely said to me in the sacristy, that's nothing compared to what our Lord has done, right? You know that. You've worked hard, but our Lord, he's waited, not days, months, years. He's waited eternity. He never had a beginning, you know that. And he's waited now for you to receive him and for him to receive you. And if you think about it, think of everything he's done. He came from heaven. He became a man. All of the life that he lived, he died on the cross. He went back to heaven, and he gave us his Blessed Mother. He gave us a church. He gave us this particular building. I'm telling you, everything that has been done to get you to this moment, this is all that. These bricks, he had this place built so you could receive here. He had people follow the call to become priests so that they could give you communion. All of that means. He has down to the degree that he has made the host that he's going to come in, the altar bread, he has made some crop grow up, the wheat, and he's had it cut down. It took everything. He's had the chalices made. He's had the vessel. All of this so he could come to you. Is that not amazing? And you answered, as we always do. You answered me because I asked you. Yes, you know everything. You've done a very good job, and you look beautiful. That's the other thing. Look at the way your hair is all done up. You're wearing these special veils, these special gowns, this special suit, just for this day, right? You probably had a special bath or something last night. It's really everything about you has been. Your parents maybe said things like to other people in the family, "Leave him alone. Leave her alone. She's ready for tomorrow. Don't do anything to wreck things." Maybe you heard something like that. It sounds funny, but it's not. You'll remember someday, that's how much everyone wants you to be perfect to receive God. That's beautiful. Everyone is praying and working for that. And then it's all for one question that I asked you, and you answered. And I said, because God knows you believe and you love. And I asked you, if you saw our Lord in that very little way that he comes to us, and if you saw anyone who wanted to hurt him, I asked you, what would you do to protect him? And you said, you would give up your own lives. And I said, that is good. You are ready. But then I asked you another question. I just said, and yes, that shows your love. How do you know that God loves you that much? Remember I asked you that? And you remember what you answered? It's not a question in the catechism, is it? How do you know God loves you so much? We know God loves us so much. You didn't have that. And you said, we know because he gave his life for us. That's what you said. I said, you are ready to receive him, and he is ready to receive you. I did promise you the story of two patron saints for you on this day. One is, and you may have heard them already, Saint Tarsicius, who was an acolyte, that is someone who served at the altar, and then Blessed Imelda, a 9-year-old girl. And I tell you their story because you'll see why. In the early church, when they were killing the Christians, throwing them to the lions and everything, the priests were hunted down. And so they could not send the priests in to give communion to the people in prison because they'd kill the priests and then they wouldn't have priests. And so the priest picked an acolyte. His name is Tarsicius. And he had him take the Blessed Sacrament to the prison. And his pagan friends saw him going, and he had a cloak, and he was going, covering something. And they said, show us what you have. And he knew he could not to these pagans. And so he just kept going. And they, you know how people are. You try to resist them, they get mad. They couldn't force it away from him. And so they started throwing rocks at him. And they stoned him to death. He did what you said you would do. He gave his life so no one could harm our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. A soldier came by who was a Christian, chased these bad boys away, and then the saint gave it to the Christian soldier so he could save the Blessed Sacrament, and then he went to heaven, Saint Tarsicius. And Blessed Imelda, who was 9 years old, she used to go to school in a convent of nuns, and she used to always want to sit right next to the sisters. They didn't, well, let's see, she was 9 years old. Okay, some of you are 9. Wow, same age, see. But they did not receive at 9. They received later. So she had not received a First Holy Communion. But she wanted to be next to the sisters when they came back from communion, just so she could be close to our Lord. And she used to say to the sisters, how is it that if you receive our Lord, that you don't just go straight to heaven? Because our Lord lives in heaven. If he comes here and you receive him, then it's in her mind, she thought, then you should go right to heaven. which makes sense. But she wanted so much to receive our Lord that one day the priest, and you see how the priest comes down to give communion to everybody, and one day when the priest was coming to give communion, the host left his hands, his fingers, and it went out into the where the people were, and the host stopped over the head of little Imelda. This is a miracle. We have never seen this happen. And so the priest knew our Lord did not want to wait for her first Holy Communion. Our Lord was picking that moment to be her first Holy Communion. And so the priest came through the gate and he went down to where she was and he took the host out of the air. Our Lord led him and he gave her communion. And you may already know that as she thought, it happened. When she received our Lord, he did not let her stay to live a life. He took her to heaven right then, just as she thought might happen. We don't expect that to happen to you, your families, none of us want that. We know that God has great plans for you in life. And this is only the beginning, that you will walk with him throughout life, protected by the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that you will get to heaven one day. And just to close and remember, for everybody's sake, that mission that you have, whatever it is, who knows in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, in 60 years, you may be telling somebody on their first communion day. And you are the proof of the power of God. You are the living proof of it. Today is that evidence. So all of us pray that you remain faithful, and you will. If you pray and you receive the sacraments throughout life, you will be faithful. You will be lovers of our Lord. Oh, by the way, sorry going on here, but you, of course, when our Lord comes to you, you can say anything you want to him. You know that. You maybe already have thought up what you want to say. We just want to give you a couple of ideas. You want to praise him for creating everything, for giving you your families everything, and he is great. He has saved us. You want to praise him for that. You want to tell him again you're sorry for anything bad you've done in life, and you want to make up for it. You want to make up for those things. But most of all, you want to thank him. You want to thank him for everything that we talked about that you've done, everything that he's done for this day. And in the end, why? And this is what you want to say. You want to hug our Lord. He's hugging you. And you want to say, I love you, God. You love him today, always, so you will be with him one day in heaven. I'm going to stop. We know the hour of your first Holy Communion. We don't know the exact minute. Our Lord knows it, and he doesn't want to delay. So I have to stop now. And at that perfect moment, he will come to you, and you will come to him. May God bless you.